Well, this is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm here today with Dr. Jennifer Rice from Johnson County Healthcare Centre. Dr. Rice, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm so well. Thanks for
always
having me.
A loaded question to ask your doctor how
that's
she
true.
Is.
That's true.
Anyway, so we want to talk about something that's very close to your heart, breast cancer awareness. Right now, everywhere you go, there seem to be pink ribbons on everything. Every website I look at, everywhere I go, there's a pink ribbon, and it's for breast cancer awareness. Now, I think as women, we can no longer say that we are not aware of breast cancer, but is that translating into action on our behalf? And are we as women doing the right thing to screen, to protect ourselves, to look after our health?
That's a great point. I do. We love to see the pink ribbons, and we love to see the awareness of breast cancer. But I really think we've got to make sure that that awareness is converted to action. And I'm not sure that it always is. I think we like to cheer for, you know, women or people who are undergoing treatment and whatnot. But I'm not sure that we always remember, hey, this could happen to me too, and I need to be on top of this and make sure I'm getting my own screening done and watching out for it so that we can find things earlier. However, there's definitely been big advances over the years. We looked at breast cancer rates haven't necessarily changed dramatically in the last 30 to 40 years, but the survival rates for breast cancer have changed in a huge way. And a big portion of that is because breast cancer is getting detected earlier and at stages where we can actually have a shot at treating it and save women's lives. And that is a really remarkable thing. And I think that awareness campaigns have made a big difference. Really, it was in the kind of 80s and 90s when they started to see a pretty dramatic rise in mammogram screening. And when that technology really caught up to where it could be more useful as a screening tool. And since that time, it's really made a difference in early detection and saving lives.
Okay. And so is there a particular type of woman who may be more at risk than another? Is there a particular age group of women who really need to be thinking about getting a mammogram? Is there some kind of predisposition or some kind of genetic thing? If you have breast cancer in your family, who needs to be thinking about this?
Well, every woman should be thinking about their breast health, but there are certainly risk factors that increase their risk. I usually recommend to young women, even starting after 18 or in their 20s, that they should start doing regular self-breast exams, and they should come in and have an exam with their doc or provider, because even though it's more uncommon in young women in their 20s and 30s, we do see that occasionally, and having some of that self-awareness makes a big difference, again, in early detection and saving lives. The risk certainly starts to rise after the 40s and continues to increase into the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s. And so as we age, we're more at risk. Women who are on hormone therapy, particularly like postmenopausal hormone replacement therapy, taking estrogens, those women are at higher risk. And so women who are taking that kind of therapy need to make sure they're really being mindful of their screening. And then women who have family history are at a little bit higher risk as well. But genetics, while they do increase your risk, they don't necessarily tell us the whole story. Only about 10% of all breast cancers are in women who have family histories. So while it's good to know and be aware of your family history, just because no one in your family has breast cancer doesn't mean you have no risk.
So what I'm really hearing is that if you have breasts, you need to be thinking about breast cancer.
Correct.
For all your life.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Okay. And if it's okay, let's talk about the guidelines a little bit in this context, because I talked about having those young ladies start doing exams. Breast cancer guidelines are a little bit messy. Unlike screening for cervical cancer or even colon cancer, breast cancer guidelines change a little bit depending on what source you look at. And so some of those other types of cancers, the science is very definitive on when women should get their screening done and when they can end that screening. A couple years ago, the government made some recommendations on screening and largely recommended that like mammogram screening not start till 50. But a lot of those studies were based on cost efficacy and not on the number of lives saved. So if you look at the number of lives saved, most physicians will agree with recommendations from the College of Radiology and some of the others that we should start mammogram screening at 40. And I recommend starting at 40 and every year after 40. Sometimes women that are lower risk after 65 don't have a lot of family history, nor hormone therapy, that kind of thing. They can spread them out to every other year. But for the most part, we really prefer to have women do their mammograms every year. The other big piece of this is that mammograms aren't the whole story. Mammograms help, but they're not perfect. And so we like to approach breast cancer detection from a three-pronged approach. First of all, we do want women to get those mammograms when they're due. Second, we want them to do self-breast exams. Some of the more official guidelines recommend women do a self-exam at least every month. I even tell women if it's three or four times a year, that's good. I just want you to do it if you think about it so that you know your baseline. If you can feel something that was not there last time, you know, we need to talk and I need to evaluate you. The third piece of that approach is to have a physical and see your provider at least annually and have a clinical breast exam.
Okay. So look after yourself annually is what you're really saying. Does it make any difference that a lot of women have favored breast implants? Does that make any difference to screening or outcome?
So breast implants can sometimes make breast cancer a little more difficult to find, but it doesn't preclude them from following any of the other guidelines. In fact, if anything, they need to be even more stringent just because it could be harder to detect. So we still want those ladies to continue with the annual exams, regular self-exams, and an annual mammogram.
Okay. So no woman I know who's had a mammogram is really enthusiastic about getting another one, and that's no reflection on the technicians who are doing that. It's just not a very pleasant procedure, but it's relatively short, and I think you have a little bit of improved equipment here at Johnson County Health Care Center now that makes it better.
Absolutely. We are thrilled to have a 3D mammography machine. We've had that now for just almost 2 years, and that was something that was made possible through our hospital foundation, so we're very thankful to them for that. The difference with the 3D mammography is that it is a much clearer digital picture, and generally is able to detect smaller masses earlier and can help differentiate what is a real mass versus what is, you know, something that was kind of questionable on the old imaging. So essentially, women sometimes don't have to come back for as much extra imaging as they would have if we were suspicious of a spot on the old mammograms. You still get a squish both directions, and we can't take that away. But we do have wonderful technicians. This is, you know, Brandy Standish is our main mammogram technician here, and she's just very kind and thoughtful about trying to keep women as comfortable as possible. They really do try to help get you through the procedure and help you in any way they can. And it is very quick. The 3D mammogram is particularly quite quick. And I don't think that the discomfort outweighs the need for the screening in any way.
So let's just talk about that for a moment. You know, we're talking a lot about awareness, but how many women are actually potentially or are impacted by a diagnosis of breast cancer? Mm-hmm. What are the numbers that we're talking about?
So one in eight women will be diagnosed with breast cancer at some point in their lifetime.
That's a very high statistic.
It's a very high statistic. And there's some age groups kind of between the 50s and 60s where it's almost more like one in four. It's high. It is the second most common cancer-causing death in women. And skin cancer is the only thing ahead of that. Breast cancer is the second most common cancer in women.
That is a significant statistic, mm-hmm. and it brings into focus why there is so much effort and energy put into drawing attention to breast cancer and awareness for it.
Right.
So if you are unfortunate and you get a diagnosis, is it the same for every woman? I mean, you know, do some people think that that's it, you know, straight to a double mastectomy or other things? I mean, is there a kind of range of different treatment options?
There's a really wide range of treatment options, and it's very dependent on a lot of different physiologic factors for the patient as well as the cancer itself. Cancer is not a one-all, be-all. They're very different, and there are so many different factors. It has to do with the size of the tumor. It has to do with whether or not it's spread to any lymph nodes in the region. It has to do with whether or not it has estrogen or progesterone receptors or some of these other markers, like there's one called HER2-new. All of these different markers are things that scientists have been able to isolate and then use to help figure out treatments that are specific to that cancer. And so, there's a lot of different parts. Some women can have just a lumpectomy where they only take a piece of it. Some women need a full mastectomy. Some women need both. Some women need chemo. Some need radiation. But none of that is uniform across the board.
And of course, I suppose on top of that, you have to overlay patient choice too.
Correct.
As to
absolutely
what you want to do as the patient.
Absolutely.
How much treatment you feel you wish or want to tolerate.
Sure.
You know, it's a very unique and individual
it is.
Choice.
It is. Absolutely. And there's a lot of pieces to that. You know, we're really lucky, you know, in a facility like this where we work very closely across different disciplines, we are often able to, you know, from the time a woman has an abnormal exam or abnormal mammogram, we are often able to have that biopsied within 2 to 5 days, have the pathology back within another day or two from Sheridan, oftentimes seeing the surgeon even within another day. It's not unusual for women to have already seen, you know, myself or the other doctors or the surgeon and have a plan within less than a week of diagnosis. I think we really can expedite things here because we do work so closely together and everyone here is really focused at doing the best thing for patients as soon as possible. I see some people, of course, will also always help facilitate if they want to go get a specialist opinion elsewhere or different things. But I actually see a lot of times the treatment is more swift here than it is trying to go out of town. Where sometimes they may be waiting 2 or 3 months to even see a specialist for a second opinion.
Yes, I would imagine that's a very comforting thing for a patient who has had that rather startling and shocking diagnosis, that you get, you're quickly in the system and in the process and getting a plan.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah,
that's
having a plan. Is
so helpful. Talking about getting a plan, you have a plan for something happening next week.
We do.
You have an open clinic?
We do. We have our breast health night next Wednesday. That's October 12th, and it's from 5:30 to 7:30. And this is really kind of a pet project for me, and I can't remember now if we've been doing this for 5 years, maybe.
I'm sure COVID had a blip, yeah. And messed with that.
And we actually were able to do it that year. It was just on a very limited basis. We had to be really careful with some of the safety precautions. But we've been able to do this for several years. And its roots started when I was in my residency program. I was in Ray, Colorado, and they do a similar event to this. And there it had become this social event. I would say half the community of women came to this event every year. And it was a free breast exam by one of the providers, but there were raffles and giveaways and food and treats. And it just was this wonderful gathering. And it was a neat way to provide a free service to the community, but also raise awareness. And it was something that even then I said, gosh, I really want to do this someday in my practice. This is a neat thing. And when I moved to Buffalo, I had kind of mentioned, hey, I really want to do this thing someday. And here I am surrounded by this amazing staff that just make it happen. I don't know that I could have pulled it off anywhere else, but the staff here is phenomenal. And so this is all volunteer time. No one's getting paid for any of this. This is all volunteer from the nurses, all of our lady physicians, our PAs. Julia Bettinger has a huge role in helping put this thing together. Like I said, a lot of our front staff come in. We just have volunteers from everywhere. And they come in and This is, again, a completely free opportunity for women to come in. One of the female providers will do a breast exam, and then you can go. There's raffles and giveaways, and this year we get to expand again where we have kind of a fun little area with some vendors and hors d'oeuvres and wine. There's wine. and so they can come and kind of go through the clinic into our conference room where they get to enjoy some of those things as well. And it's really meant to be a fun night where women can escape, take care of yourself, and our radiology folks are here. They can get you scheduled for a mammogram. We also have a lady from the Wyoming Cancer Resource Network who can help women get signed up if they can't afford their mammograms or other parts of their exam. She can help women sign up for other resources. And so we have all these people here in this network, and it's a fun opportunity. I hope women come and enjoy it too.
It sounds lovely. I mean, you know, kind of coming together, doing something positive and healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe with a glass of wine.
Yeah, nice. Thank absolutely. You. Absolutely. Yeah, we've really enjoyed it. And it's an event that's grown every year. We've seen, you know, more women every year. And we have actually, I think every year but one, we have identified a breast cancer at this event. And so, I mean, I really think we're offering something that is useful and makes a big difference in women's lives.
Very much so. So is there anything that you would like to add? Is there something that you would particularly like to say to us women sitting out there in denial or delay land who think, oh, I've got to do that, but next week.
Yeah, please come. This is for you. you know, I was visiting with Kate earlier and I said, gosh, you know, it's the same age group and population where we are. It's these women in their 40s, 50s, chasing kids. We're busy, career, whatever it is, there's just too much on our plates and we're not good at slowing down and taking care of ourselves. And that's what this event is supposed to be for. I mean, I don't know if you want to come just because it's fun and it's a social gathering, grab your girlfriend and come in, or whether it's because it's the only opportunity you have and you can't get in here during business hours, come in. I mean, there's no financial constraints. We're trying to take away any obstacle or reason you have to not come get this done. This should be your opportunity to come take care of yourself.
Well, thank you. And remind us, the date again is?
October 12th. That's this next Wednesday, and that's from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Family Medical Center at Johnson County Healthcare Center.
Dr. Rice, thank you very much indeed for taking some time and telling us women why we need to get busy with our breast cancer awareness. Thank you.
Thank you.